Today's passage is Isaiah 11, verses 1 to 9. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion, and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Today, in our third Advent devotional, we are looking at another amazing Isaiah passage. Very briefly, I want to remind us of the context that Isaiah writes in, which is in the late 8th century BC. This is before the Babylonian exile, but clearly, Israel at the time has been on a spiritual decline. And Isaiah, like other prophets, writes about the condition the people are in, and why that means judgment in the form of exile that is coming up. Yet, mixed in with these very gloomy prophecies are also prophecies of a great hope that will come true one day in the form of Jesus. And this passage, just a couple chapters after the Isaiah passage that we looked at on Monday, is one of those sections that anticipates the coming of Jesus. Right off the bat, we get a very loaded verse. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. Now Jesse was the father of King David, the second king of Israel, considered the greatest king in the line so far. And this line from Jesse in this verse is pictured here as a stump. Why? Because as I just mentioned, the kings of Israel were no good anymore. Under David and his son Solomon, Israel was clearly protected by God and accumulated power and wealth. But after Solomon, the kingdom was divided into northern and southern parts. The northern kingdom produced zero good kings, meaning zero kings who feared the Lord and sought to live under his law. The southern kingdom did just a little better. It had a couple good kings here and there, but the line was clearly trending downwards. These bad kings ignored God's word, set up idol worship, and turned to how other countries did things, instead of seeking to be set apart as God's people. The result of this sin, of course, was that the nation suffered. Assyria and then Babylon would soon conquer the Israelites. So we end up here with a mere stump of Jesse, a line of kings that is cut off from the life of God, and essentially dead. However, the verse says that from this stump of Jesse, there shall come forth a shoot. A branch from his roots shall bear fruit. Out of this hopeless situation comes a miraculous hope. This is very similar to how in Isaiah 7, out of deep darkness, a great light appears. Out of the death that the people deserve from their sin, amazingly, life springs forth. The rest of the passage shows the fruit that Jesus, the branch, shall bring. In verse 2, we see that the Spirit of the Lord rests upon him, and there's a fourfold repetition of the Spirit. In the kingship of David and Solomon, Israel saw glimmers of the Spirit working. For example, wisdom in Solomon, who had the most wisdom of any person on earth. Or might, at the peak of David's reign, where Israel experienced stretches of peace from surrounding nations. Those were just glimmers, though, and as with all people, there were obvious failures to walk in the fear of the Lord. Jesus, the true King, is constantly filled with the Spirit. Take any devotional from John that we just went through, and we'll find the Spirit just overflowing in him through his works and through his words to others. In verses 3 to 5, Isaiah describes the Messiah's justice in judging people. I find it interesting how Isaiah prophesies that he shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. I would think that the best earthly judges take all that they see and hear, and come up with a sound judgment for each case. But I think Isaiah is implying that Jesus' justice goes far beyond the best earthly judge. Earthly judges are limited to what they take in. They could be lied to, and those who are wronged may not even get to come before the judge. The judge might not even see them. Jesus, on the other hand, comes for those people, the poor and the meek. The Beatitudes come to mind right away, where Jesus declares, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, and blessed are the meek." We don't fully see these verses realized yet, even today, such as Jesus killing the wicked with the breath of his lips. But in Jesus' second coming, in the future, he will come in full glory to judge the earth. Likewise, last verses talk about situations that are only partially realized right now. The wolf dwelling with the lamb, the leper lying down with the young goat, and so on, are pictures of tremendous peace. Now, I would not recommend verse 8 for the time being, but Isaiah talks of a time when the hunter no longer hunts his prey. Rather, the hunter does the opposite and gets along with his prey. In other words, enemies are now friends. We partially see this coming true right now in the church. Remember Jesus' first disciples were a mix of people who shouldn't get along on normal earthly terms, but instead they become brothers and sisters. The wall is torn down between them because of Jesus. And God is in the process of making this happen fully as his kingdom comes and takes over the kingdom of the earth. As we think about all of this fruit that Jesus brings about, being the branch that shoots out from the stump of Jesse, let's pray that we would be part in bringing this fruit that is made possible by him. Again, God is in the process of revealing his kingdom on this earth, and he has chosen us to be essential parts in bringing it about. To bring in another image from the Bible, let's be the branches that abide in the vine of Jesus, bearing fruit as we are connected to him. One such fruit that we read about here is peace, or reconciliation. We all know that our country is very divided in different ways, but we can be instruments of peace by sharing the gospel, by simply loving our neighbors, by showing a supernatural love to one another, and so on. Another fruit that we read about is justice. For example, perhaps getting involved in helping others in our city. Let's reflect today on how to bear the fruit that God desires as followers of Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this awesome passage, and Jesus, we thank you for all of the hope and fruit that you bring. That shouldn't have been possible, but it was possible because you came, Jesus. And Lord, as we reflect on our lives, we pray that we would be your followers, and we would see that this fruit is possible in our lives too and in this world. Help us to be parts of bringing this about. Help us to be people of prayer and people of action, as you call us to. We lift up this day to you, God. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.